Welcome to the Two Daft Yanks Podcast, the show that brings you tidbits from all aspects of the soccer world. Sometimes serious, sometimes zany, always opinionated. Now, here are your hosts, Chad Smith and Corey Chatelain.
This is the Two Daft Yanks Podcast. I am your host, Chad Smith, broadcasting live from the TDY Studios in beautiful Denver, Colorado, and I'm joined by my sidekick, as always, Corey Chatelain from the TDY Polar Studios in Anchorage, Alaska. How's it going, Corey?
I'm pretty good now that I've finally come out of the turkey coma, you know, from Thanksgiving. So, you know, we were a few days late. You know, some people might say because of a double EPL, I'm blaming it on the turkey coma. So
it's both, yes. Yeah. So we decided to knock the show back a few days, so we could talk about the EPL in its entirety with this double helping of Premier League that we got after your turkey coma, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, to skip the turducken this year, I was disappointed.
So that's the roadmap for you here. We're going to talk some EPL. We're going to talk some financial fair play. We're going to get into this week in Daftness. And then we're going to end the show with some MLS talk, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah. Merry Christmas to y'all.
Yeah, so with that in mind, let's get fired up. So, all right, as we talked about last week, fixture congestion is here, and it's here to stay through, you know, the early weeks of January anyway. So for the next month, you know, a lot of people call December, you know, bowl month. No, I call it Premier League month because there's games in multitude bountiful amounts.
Yeah, the where most continental leagues basically go into hibernation for 2 to 4 weeks, the EPL takes the opposite and cranks the games up to 11, basically.
Yes, 11! And that's on a scale of 10, so that's how epic it is.
Yeah.
So let's take a look at the table here after this double session, which just ended today. Chelsea is number one at 36 points. Manchester City is second on 30 points. Third is Southampton. They drop to third on 26 points. Manchester United has crawled back in to fourth place on 25 points. And then the powerhouse, that is West Ham, is in fifth at 24 points. And then you got Arsenal in sixth on 23. So those are the teams at the top of the table. At the bottom, Leicester is now in 20th at 10 points. You got QPR on 11. And you got Burnley on 12. And they're down on goal differential, minus 12. But you got Hull at 12, as well as West Brom on 13 and Crystal Palace on 13. So, you know, really, if you remove Chelsea as the outlier, the table is pretty compacted. And, you know, in your little individual groups, you know, in the mid-table, the bottom of the table, the upper mid-table. So there's a lot of questions that will be answered in the coming month.
Yeah, because with that compactness, you know, two or three results one way or the other can really boost a team or sink a team. And that's what we were alluding to this week, or last week, sorry, with the, you know, the whatever it is, the four games in 9 days around Christmas where, you know, it's going to make or break a lot of club seasons.
Yes, and I just realized this, that making it even worse for this year is Boxing Day is on Friday.
Yes.
So and they don't say, all right, well, Boxing Day is on Friday, so there's no game Saturday and Sunday. We're going to let you rest. Uh-uh. A lot of teams play Friday, Sunday, or Friday, Monday.
Yeah, I think it's Friday, Saturday, because I know in some years there's only like a day in between games. Or, you know, meaning the one day of rest.
Yeah, so it's going to be an exciting time. I guess just the big thing from this weekend would be, you know, Southampton dropping down to third. They lost to City in a game at home where they didn't really particularly play too well. And lost, but it sounds like today they played much better, but fell on a late goal by Arsenal.
Yeah, they played, I wouldn't say that they deserve the 3 points, but yeah, they played pretty well. You know, they were pretty compact for most of the game. You know, obviously our goal came 2 minutes or, you know, whatever, 90 seconds before, 90 seconds from time, when they had gone down to 10 men, when they had, who was it? I keep wanting to say Vermaelen, but the other guy, Alderweireld, went off injured when they had already used their three subs. So they were down to 10 men. But I will say to in Arsenal's defense that Fraser Forster made three or four really good saves, and Joe Hart, I would say look out because Fraser Forster's coming for your England spot at some point. Dude's
Well,
good.
that's assuming that Roy Hodgson is smart enough to start him.
Well, I'm just saying if they people need to start taking notice because he's pretty freaking good.
Take notice.
Yeah. Or,
All
you
right,
know,
now.
legalize him and, you know, cap him for the Yanks.
Yes, so.
Find an American uncle or something.
So to jump back to last weekend on Saturday, I guess a big result was QPR 3, Leicester 2. I guess in your relegation battle there. So both teams are probably going to get relegated in the end, but QPR got the better handle on that. And as we said, we're creeping towards that, that winter January transfer window. So QPR is liable to do all kinds of crazy things player-wise. So you never know.
Yeah, and I meant to grab the article and I forgot, but I saw during the week that they're facing that football that like 50 million, 50 million. Speak English. The £50 million football league fine if they're relegated again. So yeah, if they get relegated, it'll be interesting, as we've said before, whether they might get administrative relegation all the way down to the conference, and they would go from QPR to QPR not. Oh, really bad pun.
QPR not.
Yeah, that is the question.
Ooh, I like that. That might be pretty catchy. You
Yeah,
might be able to sell some
QPR or
shirts.
QPR not. Yeah,
All
somebody Shakespeare that up.
right. So then going to the games that were played on Tuesday and Wednesday, I guess your highlights are Man United beating Stoke. I don't know. Swansea beat QPR. Aston Villa beat Crystal Palace. West Ham, as we said, is still kind of a surprise team, battling for European places. They beat West Brom, who's not in form at all. And then, as we said today, Chelsea won, Manchester City won, Arsenal won. So, teams kind of held the form.
Yeah, and the Villa only has 8 goals and is somehow in 12th place, which I find kind of funny. Yeah, because I was starting to get worried about my Villa prediction. They were in the relegation spot only a week ago, but they've picked up some points and have crept back up into 12th.
Yeah, with 8 goals. So we talked maybe, a month or two ago already about Burnley and their struggle for goals, but Aston Villa actually has less goals than Burnley.
Yeah, I mean, you know what, we're about a month away from the new year, and they still only have 8 goals, which is pretty funny.
So that is a now this is the time where the alarm bell should be sounding off if your team, doesn't is giving up goals in bunches or isn't scoring enough. Now you could look at things and there's a good statistical set and record to look upon to now you could be concerned by such numbers.
Yeah, because the traditionally the table breaks up into what I like to call pods, where you get, kind of pods of 4 to 6 teams that kind of they don't really fall in and out of those pods too much. Once you get past Christmas, they just kind of bounce around, the few places in those pods. So as Chad was just saying, especially in the next couple weeks, if your team's bouncing around 16th around that time, it's time to start getting worried.
All right, let's look ahead to the weekend here, since we're doing a show midweek. The weekend schedule, there's nothing that really jumps out at me, except for maybe Manchester City Everton is probably your best game in terms of, name recognition. But Manchester City's at home, so I would expect them to pretty much to beat Everton pretty handily. Other games include QPR and Burnley. We've seen another relegation game there that could, you know, really be big come the end of the year. And then West Ham and Swansea. You know, so West Ham's in fifth, Swansea's in seventh, separated by just 2 points. So that's another interesting game. And then another relegation game, perhaps. And I just lost track of it. Oh, it's Aston Villa and Leicester. Even though Aston Villa is not in a relegation battle, but they will be soon if they don't start scoring goals, as we just said.
Well, say they're in 12th, but they're only 4 points above Burnley, who's in 18th. So
yeah, so this is going to be fascinating.
Yeah, and Leicester's only got, I think, 2 points since they beat United. So they've fallen on hard times pretty quickly. But you know, as we're always saying with the competitiveness in the EPL, just 2 months ago they were getting into that everybody's darling category, kind of like Swansea did a few years ago. And 2 months later, like I said, they're now at the foot of the table.
Yeah. So like as we said, everything is a hodgepodge right now. So it's really difficult to figure out what to focus on because, you know, everything is so important at this point in time. And so it's difficult for me to, you know, even decide what games to watch on the weekend. I spend half my time flipping through the channels back and forth trying to find, you know, the most entertaining matchup.
I don't know. I'm a snob, so I tend to watch the bigger teams.
Ah, well, boo.
Well, it's too early for the relegation battle ones.
I know,
unless
but I did watch.
They're already on.
Crystal Palace and Swansea was a pretty well-played game.
Yeah,
that might over the weekend. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I won't watch them, but, you know, I won't go out of my way yet.
Okay, well, fine. Fine, be a snob.
Yeah.
Be a Euro snob wannabe or whatever.
Oh, well, I'm a Euro snob plus.
All right, let's talk about probably the biggest Euro snob of them all. And that's next on our list. It would be one, Jose Mourinho.
Ooh.
Wouldn't you say he's a snob?
Ooh. I don't know.
He's a snob. He's a snob and he's European, so that makes him a Euro snob.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He's more of a hypocrite, but yeah.
Yes, the special one had some very interesting words spoken this week about financial fair play. So, Corey, please enlighten the listeners of the wisdom of one Jose Mourinho.
Yeah, well, if anybody saw it, the Mourinho had the gall this week to come out and say that he basically thinks that FFP is unfair and that clubs like hold on.
What do you mean, hold
Sorry.
On?
Sorry, I was about to cough.
Well, hit the cough button.
There's a cough button?
No, there isn't. We don't have one. We're not that highbrow of a podcast where we
have. Well, I was going to say that if there's a cough button, I need to know where this damn thing is. So anyway, he came out this week saying that FFP is unfair because Chelsea doesn't have the resources of Man City, and that the fines are levied on Chelsea, or you know that maybe levied against Chelsea would be in the same category of Man City, and that's not fair, and that it's Man City that's the one that's put everybody in this boat, which is rich, since you know, pardon the pun, it's rich, because Chelsea's the one who basically started the arms race as we know it. I mean, obviously, the clubs with the most money have always spent, but Chelsea's the one who came in, started blowing up price tags, and you know, if a guy was worth $10 million, would come in and just write the check for $25 million and basically, you know, price everybody out of the market for that player in an instant. You know, that what was it? That first summer, Abramovich came in and they bought. You know, they spent like whatever it was. It's like $300 million in players or whatever back when. You know, a world-class player was still about $10-12 million. So like I said, it's pretty rich for somebody who came in with you know, after Abramovich came in, started, you know, bankrolling Chelsea with the uber amounts of money, you know, like I said, there's always been rich owners, but Abramovich was the first one who came in that was basically, you know, whatever you want to call them, the mega rich owners, and that, you know, changed the face of the transfer market. You know, you can argue for worse. Some people would say, you know, it's the same as it's always been. Just the prices are, you know, the prices are just relatively different. But you know, like I said, he was the first of the mega owners. Obviously, Mubarak and the UAE group came in with Man City and basically started doing the same thing. But like I said, it was pretty funny to watch or to read Mourinho try and basically separate Chelsea from that behavior and basically try to all put it on Man City.
Yes, well, I think he's doing that because Chelsea has toned it down because they have stated that, yeah, we have to comply with financial fair play. But you are right in the fact that one of the main reasons why financial fair play exists in the first place is because of their actions in the past.
Yeah, and then there's that rumor going around that they're going to make a $200 million bid or whatever it is for Messi when, as I said to you last week, well, how they're going to do that if they're without selling people off, or, you know, without selling multiple really good players off, because that's the only way they're going to raise that money to be able to make that bid.
Yeah, so, and that's
without blowing up, you know, FFP again.
Mostly tabloid talk, as I said last week, so.
Yeah.
I would imagine. I mean, I don't think any club could spend $200 million without knowing that they'd be in some major trouble from UEFA if they didn't offset that cost by, you know, selling half their players.
Yeah, no, and that's what I'm saying. That, or I guess that's what I meant, is that that's how I knew that that was just a rumor, because they would have to sell off a bunch of players to raise that money.
Yes, or they could just sell Jose's ego. How much is that worth?
Ooh, man, it's a lot. You'd have to, you might have to make up a new number.
I like it.
A specialion.
A specialion?
Oh, yeah, a Mourinho-ian or something.
A Mourinho-ian? Yeah, I don't know. That's close. That's pretty good for off the top of your head.
Yeah, Chelsea-ian. Abramovich-ian. Let's go to the next thing before I just make
yes,
words
done,
up for the rest of the show.
Yes, so let's. It's time for our favorite thing, and I am going to get an intro music for this, as I said. Soon. But we'll hit the gong. I don't know. I don't know what have I been using. We'll just hit the gong.
Yeah. It's, you know, your traditional transition.
And that's, it's time for This Week in Daftness.
Yeah.
Which we love here.
Yeah, and you tell me there's an Adebayor update, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, so we have two things today, but we have an update already from last week's. As you know, Corey informed us that Emmanuel Adebayor, the reason he's not scoring goals this year is because his mother has practiced some kind of witchcraft on him. And as I stated, no, it's not witchcraft. It's called you're never in the box. That's why you don't score goals. Anyway.
Well, yeah, because his mom put some sort of ward around the box. That's why he doesn't
go maybe
in there.
That's true. Maybe that's why there's some kind of force shield.
Yeah.
And he's not drifting left or right on his own. It's because
he's
he
being
can't pass
pushed out by the juju magic.
Yeah, that's possible. But we have an update from another member of Adebayor's family, Corey.
Oh.
Are you ready for this? This is going to blow your mind.
Sweet.
The elder brother of Emmanuel Adebayor.
Oh, the one who used to be at all the Arsenal matches back in the day.
Oh, maybe Kola?
I think that was his name.
Kola, yes. So Kola Adebayor, who lives in Germany, and he's a truck driver, by the way. He says he believes the Spurs tracker has been brainwashed into believing that his mother has placed a curse on him. Now, who do you think has been brainwashing Adebayor into thinking this?
Ooh. My first guess is he's probably still got Harry Redknapp on speed dial, so I'm gonna go with I'm gonna go with old Harry.
No, you're wrong. Sorry.
Dang it!
It is actually some spirit men, or you know, a version of Muslim shamans, I guess, called alphas. I don't know if that's the right pronunciation. Alphas.
Yeah, I don't
he
know.
He has been, according to his brother, he's been brainwashed by Muslim spiritual men. And he quote, and I quote, "They have convinced him his sister and mother put juju curses on him. My mother is very sad. Every day she is crying. I just talked to her on the phone, and she was crying." So his brother says that that Adebayor goes to these faith healers, these spiritual men, and they're telling him that his mother has put the juju on him, and that's why you're not scoring goals. And so the brother said he's being brainwashed by these Muslim shaman. So there's your Adebayor update in this week.
Interesting.
In so the lesson here is stay away from the shaman.
Yeah. Unless it's the shaman that's squeezably soft. That's an even worse pun than before.
Yes. Unless the mother is really doing the juju. So maybe the mother has put the juju on the shaman. So Adebayor backs off.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. I bet you the mother is the shaman, and she just puts on like, you know, some potion to where she looks like some shaman guy, but it's really the mother in two places at once, playing them at both ends.
Oh goodness! It's like a Disney cartoon.
Yeah, there's no ends to the depth of this diabolical madness.
Or not Disney. I meant Looney Tunes, where Bugs Bunny, you know, dresses up as multiple characters.
Yeah, well, say I think the only Looney Tunes in this story is Adebayor.
Yeah, he is a Looney Tune.
Yeah. Just saying, you might want to sell him in January. Start talking about juju. Think Adebayor's gone bye-bye, Egon.
Sell now!
Yeah.
Yes, buy one out-of-form striker, get the juju free.
Your... Buy the striker, get the juju at half price, or buy the striker at half price and get the juju free. Just get the
there we go.
Just get the middle guy. Just get this nut job out of here.
So we'll see. He did not feature again over the weekend or today on the bench. So I do believe that perhaps he has played his last game.
Well, I'll tell you who,
but you never know.
Well, who scored his first goals lately? Soldado. There's your answer right there. Soldado is the one putting the juju on him. So he gets back in the squad.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
All right, now this week's version of This Week in Daftness. Today's story comes from the thriving league in Bulgaria.
Ooh.
Are you ready for this?
Am
Headline.
I?
Bulgarian defender gets 10-match ban for referee attack.
Oh. What did the ref do?
So, yeah, we'll see. So
maybe the ref put a juju spell on
him. Yeah, the Bulgarian Football Union, known as the BFU, for those who care, has said it has banned Lokomotiv Plovdiv defender Dian I did this before. The name's not that bad. It's just, sorry, I'm drinking a winter lager. Moldovanov is his name.
Yeah.
Moldovanov has been banned 10 games by the BFU for trying to hit a referee with a bottle. So he got red carded during a match for having a verbal altercation. So I guess this was after the match. So, you know, referee made some kind of controversial call. You know, after the match, he comes storming onto the field, is cursing at the referee. The referee gives him a red card. Then goes and finds a glass bottle somewhere and throws it at the referee. It gets a 10-match ban. Now, what made me pick the story initially is the English tabloids. Believe it or not, the English tabloids like to make things seem bigger than they actually are. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
You can?
Kind of like the English chances at the World Cup.
You're not shocked. Anyway, so The English version of the story said that he actually broke the bottle over the referee's head. Now, that's a much more interesting story, obviously. But in this version, he only threw it at the referee, and he did, in fact, miss. But he still got the 10-game ban, which seems a little light to me.
Well, you know, throwing glass missiles at people that can potentially break and, you know, put your eye out like the Red Ryder BB gun, does 10 games does seem a little light. Or yeah, I agree.
But, you know, Bulgaria's a tough place. So, you know, maybe they're like, hey, well, you didn't throw a, you know, a grenade at them, so we don't care.
Well, yeah, who knows? Maybe there's some kind of, you know, there's actually something on the books where they say empty bottle, 10 games. If the bottle had something in it, then it's 20 games.
Ooh, good point. Maybe so, I'll have to go to the BFU website and see if they have any bylaws that we could read.
Yeah, or, you know, maybe they're like, well, like I said, empty bottle, 10 games. If you would have actually broken it over his head like the tabloid story said, then you would have got the 20 games. And then if you would have come in throwing bottles at him, riding a fire-breathing dragon, that's a 30-game ban.
Ooh, yes. No dragons on the pitch. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, no. Well, at least until after the match.
Yes. Or at least until the officials have left the field.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there we go. So there's your This Week in Davness. So Adebayor has been brainwashed. And in Bulgaria, if you're a referee, watch out for getting bottles chucked at your head.
Yeah, so next week I'm hoping for Adebayor's mom chucking a bottle full of juju at Adebayor's head.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe all the stories will come full circle into one unbelievable tale.
Yes, and then the shaman that's behind it all will then be Soldado to tie it all up into a bow.
Man, that's diabolical.
Yeah, just keep the crazy stories coming.
All right, so that's going to end our talk of football in Europe. And begrudgingly, we will now talk some MLS. Lots to talk about in MLS.
We come so we'll down from the snob it. Cloud now?
We are. We're going to slow it down, but we're still going to make fun of it. I mean, this is not a serious conversation at all. This is going to be purely for entertainment and for bashing reasons.
Oh, so we're actually amping the snobness back up.
Yes, we are. So, of course, this is the most important week in MLS history. It is the potentially, well, this is, I mean, unless he changes his mind, the last game we will ever see Landon Donovan play in as a professional soccer player.
I thought you meant the travesty of Thierry Henry having an unfulfilled career for not winning MLS Cup that I saw bots tweeting about.
Oh, really?
Which amused me.
We could get into that next, but of course, MLS Cup is coming up this weekend. Galaxy versus the Revolution. Honestly, I don't really care. That's my comment, my official comment.
Nor do I, since Thierry Henry's Red Bulls are eliminated, and unlike some bots, I don't have 9 rooting interests, so.
That's right, so. Anyway, I'd be shocked if the Galaxy don't win because I think the referees will make sure that that happens.
Yeah, put your if anybody's got a little Christmas bonus this year, you might want to go to the casino and, you know, let it fly on the Galaxy.
Hook or by crook, the Galaxy will win because there's no way the Garbertron is going to let Donovan leave the league in quotes as a failure.
I was going to say, at the very least, put some of that money on Landon Donovan picking up outstanding player or MVP or whatever the hell they call it. Or they're going to create a special award, the most Landon player ever, and give it to Landon.
Well, I bet they will. Probably be the new MVP trophy will be called the Landon Donovan Award.
Oh, yeah.
In the MLS Cup.
Absolutely. Where do I bet on that? That's a certainty. Why didn't that's I think of that? Award. Yeah, that is going to happen. People book that. Book it now.
But it won't be awkward at all when Landon Donovan wins the Landon Donovan Award. That won't be pre-planned, will it?
No.
So there's that. Another MLS news. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but it was finally official, and Corey hinted at this. And that's why he's been watching the Red Bulls, I do believe, is one, Henry has announced that he will be leaving the Red Bulls. He's not retiring, per se. Sounds like he's going to try to hook up somewhere in Europe to finish out his career. But he is leaving the MLS.
Yeah, and, you know, as much as people who listen to the show know by now, I'm not a big fan of the MLS. I mean, and I tried to watch some Seattle games. Could never really get into it, but yeah, I've been watching Red Bull games lately, trying to see if maybe, you know, the last chance is to see Thierry Henry play, because definitely one of my favorite players of all time. And for the people who never got to see him when he was in his pomp and at the heights of his career around 2002 to 2004 at Arsenal, I feel sorry for y'all, because the man was freaking good. There's several goals he scored that are be forever etched in my mind.
I'm sure you can find them on YouTube.
Oh yeah, goal against Spurs, the goal against Inter Milan, the self flip the ball up and spin and kick it goal against Man U for three were definitely, like I said. Oh, and then the corkscrewing Jamie Carragher into the ground against Liverpool, making him look like a Muppet. Those four goals were epic.
Did he ever do an overhead backheel?
No, but he did score on a backheel against Middlesbrough once, which was pretty badass, too.
All right. Well, I want to see someone do a overhead backheel. That would be epic.
Well, yeah, or, again, come in flying in on a dragon and score.
Maybe Landon Donovan will do that this weekend. We'll have to wait and see.
The overhead heel kick or flying in on a dragon?
Well, maybe he'll do an overhead heel kick on a dragon.
There you go. That's even better.
And then the goaltender will be nothing but, you know.
Then I'll call him world class. How about that?
Oh, boy.
Spin right. Heel kick off a dragon, now you're world class.
All right. And other news, I guess, the dear leader of the MLS, who we like to call the Garbertron.
Ah, yes.
He gave his State of the League address, and some of the nuggets we could pick out of there is basically he laid his foot down to Beckham FC, saying, hey, we love Miami, but if you don't get your act together soon, we're going to give your club away to somebody else.
Yeah, which at this point I think Beckham's going to – you know, he's not going to tell him to screw you, because that's not Beckham's personality, but I think he's basically going to tell him, screw you, I'm going back to England.
Yes, so we'll see. So, yeah, I would imagine that the Beckham FC is probably, the odds are it's not going to happen, and MLS will expand their final club to another city. And there's a list of cities, of course, and my advice to those cities is do not sell your soul. Don't do it.
Yeah, because despite what some people might say, I have a hunch Beckham's going back to England mainly because his third boy just signed actually with Arsenal, so all three of his boys are now playing are with clubs in England. So I have a feeling he's going to be going back to England, you know, to be around his kids more, or more often.
There we go. I did not know that.
Yep. Like I said, the third one recently signed with the U-16s or U-15s with Arsenal. So, like I said, now all three of his kids are playing for English clubs.
All right, and other Garbatron news. He broke another couple of, you know, bombs on us. Now, this is the most ridiculous one, is that he is recommending that next year the MLS playoffs expand.
Yeah, to like 32 or something, right?
Are you kidding me? No, just... from, what, it's 10 right now? 10 to 12.
Yeah.
So six teams per league, and I don't even know how that's going to work. I guess there'll be some kind of maybe double wild card round. I don't...
No, I think I read that...
Yeah, it would be. Like, the top two get in, and then the four teams play each other.
Yeah, I think the conference champs would get the byes is what I read.
Okay.
Or the top two in each conference would get the byes or something.
Anyway, it's another money grab. To try it, and it devalues the regular season as far as I'm concerned. And if MLS wants to be taken seriously, here you go. I've pitched this idea on the show again, but you could take it, Garber, for yourself and run it and you'll be more respected league in the world and in the United States. You're going to have 20 teams soon. Actually, next year you're going to have 20.
Yeah.
Do this. Go single table. Right? Bam. Everybody plays each other twice, just like every other league in the world for the most part. Every major league. Let's say that. Because you want to be a major league, right? That's their goal. Also, major league is in their league name, for the love of God, right?
Yeah.
So, everybody plays single table. Everybody plays other twice. Whoever wins that is the champion of the MLS. That's the MLS champion. Now, since you're all kicked up about these playoffs, well, then you can still have your playoffs and just name that the MLS Cup, which is basically your league cup, and bam. So you have your title, and then at the end of the year, you could play your stupid little league cup, and you could enter all the teams. See? Then you don't have to expand the playoffs. Everybody gets in the league cup. You rank everybody by their 1 to 20. You run it that way. Boom. Money-making machine. Please, go ahead and take that idea.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that's not going to happen because, as I tweeted during the week, of course, all the NFL-connected owners are going to want expanded playoffs like the NFL, and they're going to forever want playoffs because NFL owners can only think in playoffs because, you know, your team makes the playoffs, all of a sudden you can now jack up your ticket prices. So, you know, don't be shocked when that happens next year because of all the damn teams getting in the playoffs. So like I said, that's one of the things that is going to rub, you know, soccer purists like I would consider myself the wrong way, is that I'm not really big on playoffs except, you know, like sometimes you see in Europe or other countries where you might have a relegation playoff or you might have a playoff for UEFA Cup spots or the like. Some countries, like I think Switzerland has a playoff. At some point, the table breaks in half, and you have a playoff table and a relegation table. But you know, it's not like real playoffs. But like I said, everybody in this country, meaning all the owners, they're forever going to want their playoffs because every league's got playoffs, and every league gets to jack up the prices during the playoffs because it's the championship playoffs. So the owners are forever going to want that so they can make money.
Yes, and to quote the great sporting philosopher Jim Mora, playoffs!
Exactly. Playoffs!
Playoffs! What you talking about, playoffs?
Yeah. And as I also joked during the week, the 8 teams that don't make the playoffs should go into their own cup competition, and the winner gets a cup, and you could call it the non-relegation cup. And in that way, everybody can win something.
Yes. And sadly, for Chivas USA, if that were to go into fruition, they would have folded a year too early because they could have still been in contention for the non-relegation cup, but they gave up too soon.
And they may have even made the playoffs next year.
That's true.
You know, why not expand it to 16 the following year, and then Chivas would have gotten in, you know?
And then they wouldn't have to fold.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right, then other news here. Of course, you know, the CBA is coming up. So, of course, old Garbatron in his State of the League is talking a bunch of nonsense about how the league is losing money to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars. But the league is great, right? The league is growing, and oh, everything's great, but the league's losing money? Come on now.
Yeah, well, if they're losing money but the league has growth, well, then it sounds like it's the kind of growth that you don't want, like a boil or something. So you got to lance that fucker. So I'm just saying something doesn't make sense. How can the league be growing if they're losing money? So if it's growing and they're losing money, it's apparently some kind of bad growth. Am I right?
No, I would agree. So,
who
knows?
The point is garbage full of shit.
Yeah, so, you know, to the owners, hey, I'm sure he's telling them, yeah, we're making money. And then to the players and to the media and the state of the league, because the CBA is coming up, of course he's playing up, oh, we're losing money. Because the bottom line is they don't want to give the players, even a, you know, an MLS rookie makes less money than your average American, which is an insane thing to think about, to where these guys, you know, they have to live together in a house. They have to take training table food home just to be able to eat. They don't have cars because they can't afford it because they're literally making like $30,000 a year.
Yeah, I was gonna say I think the entry level MLS salary is basically what I made my first year out of not my first year out of college because my first year out of college I didn't work, but yeah, my first real job is about what I made same as the entry level MLSers, which is pretty funny to me. Because I wasn't making crap when I got out of college.
So congrats, you're a professional athlete. Now eat ramen noodles.
Yeah, and dollar burritos off the Taco Bell menu.
Why Garber collects $100 million plus entry fees for MoneyGrab 1.0 and MoneyGrab 2.0. So something doesn't add up here, folks. They're raking in $100 million entry fees. And at the same time, they're crying poverty, saying they're losing money. So you make your own decision about that. We don't have to make it for you.
Yeah, well, they probably spend a lot of money coming up with that I believe chant for the U.S. soccer team. So, you know, that was probably $300 million right there just for that. And then those paint art logos, you know, those really bad new logos that every club's got to use now, that was probably $300 million right there. Because, you know, they're so snazzy.
True. Pretty nice looking. Kickstand logos, yeah.
Yeah, so like I said, I guess what I'm trying to say is that if they're losing money and they're spending all this money, somebody's got a shell company and is skimming off the top is all I'm saying.
So, in conclusion, enjoy the MLS Cup if that's your persuasion. I probably won't be watching because I think it's at the same time as a Denver Bronco game, so sorry.
Yeah, no, I think I got laundry to do that day.
Okay, so there you go. Or you have to wash your hair, like the hot girl you always asked out in high school. She was always washing her hair.
Yeah, and you know,
like every Friday night. I mean, really, why?
Yeah, and then like twice on Saturday too. It was crazy. She had the cleanest hair of anybody you ever saw. Yeah. It was so freaking weird.
Anyway, so that's going to wrap up this week's show. It's kind of a hodgepodge of everything. You know, we're kind of off balance because of all the holidays that are coming up.
Yeah, and you know, Daddy's done a little too much celebrating because of his victory over Wells Fargo. Woo! Had to throw that in there.
Yep, and so next week
we're winning a trophy, man.
Yep, and next week we're going to have a very special guest on our Monday show. We will be back Monday. So tune in Monday to where we're going to have a very entertaining guest. We don't want to spill the beans, but we want you to come back because it's going to be very good.
Yeah, it's a holiday guest or something. You know, I don't know. Chad doesn't tell me anything, people.
Not even Corey knows the full scope of this.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's going to be like Frosty the Snowman or, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or Cheech and Chong's special Christmas or something.
Yeah. So, for Corey Chatelain, I'm Chad Smith. Thank you for listening to the 2Daft Inks podcast. We will catch you next week.
Three on the bounce. Come on, you Arsenal.
This has been the 2Daft Yanks podcast. If you like the show, be sure to find the Yanks at 2daftyanks.com or at 2Daft Yanks on Twitter. There, you can stay up to date on all the 2Daft Yanks action by subscribing to the show.